probably will have a report on Mexico next week. Even our trip to Mexico was also so sweet, to take a large group that we did and for it to go so well without having drama is huge. And then also to have these young guys in charge of some of the homes that we were building. We already got the next generation in place of leadership. And that's the way a church should work. There are times in which you can get discouraged. I know when Tammy, oh my gosh. Okay, when Pastor Tammy, I don't know who I'm talking about apparently. When Pastor Tammy and I, we talk, I mean, sometimes the work is discouraging. So I have a message for me today and you and the rest of the congregation. Because who else besides us sometimes feels discouraged, right? You're discouraged at work, discouraged at home sometimes. You're even discouraged in the ministry that God gives you, maybe just discouraged in your marriage. I'm going to talk about that out of Acts 18. But first, let us pray. Let me drink some more water. I've had a little cold all week, so pardon my voice. Heavenly Father, we come tonight, Lord, and we do. We truly are honored. We're honored that you're here. Your presence is here, and so anything is possible. Lord, we ask that whatever we've accomplished up to now, Lord, would pale in comparison to what you will use us to do in the future. Lord, help us not put any limits. Lord, some of us, our limits are our past. Some of us, our limits are the way we were raised. Some of us, our limits are just our lack of faith we're just half-empty kind of people. Lord, change that today in us. Lord, we want to be a people like the Apostle Paul, a people who look to you and trust you in all circumstances, good and bad. May we learn from the word we read today in the name of Jesus. Amen, church. Go ahead and turn to Acts 18. In Acts 18, we see the Apostle Paul. He leaves Athens where he was. We talked about that last week, and now he's going to go into the city of Corinth. He's taken a trip of 50 miles. I mean, basically, has gone from here to the coast. Corinth is in modern-day Greece, but when the Apostle Paul gets to Corinth, he's really kind of discouraged. Not only discouraged, he's really also fearful. And the reason is because if you trace where he's been at and what has happened where he's been at, he was in Philippi, yes, he saw some success, but he was chased out of town. He was in Thessalonica, he saw some success, he was chased out of town. He was in Berea, he was some success, he was chased out of town. And in Athens, he had some limited success. I mean, Paul, it makes sense that you would show up in Corinth and you're a little bit discouraged, you're a little bit fearful. But you know what? That's us sometimes. And so as we study the scripture, apply it to where you're at today. Apply it to your circumstances. Sometimes we read the scripture, I think, wrong. We read it in such a way we think it applies to somebody else and not to our circumstance, and it does. And so we're gonna see that the Apostle Paul, even though he shows up at Corinth and he's discouraged, even though he shows up at Corinth and he's fearful, one thing he knows about this Christian life is that you and I need to push through discouragement. We never give up. We never just go in the corner and just cry and stay there. Feel free to have a cry, but get up and continue to move. The Apostle Paul would do that. And so, not the crying part, I haven't read that in the Bible, but still, he would push through discouragement. Even when maybe in the physical realm, it seemed like there was no way. And that's usually what gets us discouraged. Physically, in the physical realm, in our understanding, we don't see a way out of our circumstances. We're like, man, I've just been poor. I was raised in a poor family, and as far as I can see, I'll always be poor. I'm addicted. I've always been addicted, and it keeps getting the best of me, or I'm just lousy at relations, whatever it might be. We don't see a way out. Today, I'm going to encourage you to set your sights on things above, not on things below. If you set your sight on things above, anything is possible. Any behavior can be broken. Any stronghold can be broken, that today could be a new day for you. And so I'm going to look at three things regarding the Apostle Paul out of Acts 18. And here's the first thing. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul's fear and discouragement. We're going to be honest at church. I don't ever want to present the scriptures in a way in which you think everything was perfect. No, it wasn't. And we're going to see that in the Apostle Paul. Look at verse chapter 18, verse 1. It says, after these things, the Apostle Paul, he departed from Athens and he went to Corinth. Once again, Corinth was an amazing city. It was, it's like, it'd be like a cross between, you know, New York City and Vegas and San Francisco. I mean, it was very cosmopolitan, very commercial, but very corrupt. The temple of Aphrodite, right? The love god or goddess, whatever, the goddess of love was there, including the 1,000 prostitutes that were part of the temple. I mean, could you imagine how corrupt a city is that has a temple in which part of its worship is to go and have sex with prostitutes? I mean, that's pretty corrupt. I mean, it just like blows your mind that somehow they saw that as a religious ritual right. They had both male and female prostitutes in that place. That's the place the Apostle Paul said, this would be a good place for church. Good place for church. Right? When we went to, and Tammy's here, when we went to go set up a church, we didn't go to set up a church in Voodoo Country. We went to go present the gospel. This simple. And Pastor Daniel was leading it. He was in Bible college at the time, but it was this simple. You share your testimony, share the gospel, and give an invitation. And when we got back into town, we got in trouble by other pastors that we'd gone there because they said it was too dangerous. I'm thinking, well, I didn't expect other pastors to chastise us because we went to a place that is as dark as can be. But they said it's too dangerous. Well, once again, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Voodoo bows to Jesus. I don't care what it is. I don't care what darkness is. It must and it will bow to Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul understood that physically Corinth is as dark as could be, but he's saying this is a good place for church. And that's the way you always should view darkness, because Scripture is very clear. When the light comes, right, and you have the light in you, when the light comes, darkness begins to dismantle. When there's something in our culture that is not right, something in our community, it'll remain that way until you and I begin to go against that, whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. And so sure enough, he goes from Athens to Corinth. And look what it, and I'm going to, there's some stories between verse 2 and 9. And we'll talk about that next week, but I'm going to drop down to verse 9 right now. And this is how we know that the Apostle Paul was discouraged and he was fearful, because the Lord speaks to him. And look what the Lord says to him. Verse 9 says, now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. That means he was awake. And here's what he starts telling him. He says, do not be afraid. Well, that tells us that Paul was what? Afraid. He comes into town and he's like, wow. I mean, wow. I mean, it would be pretty intimidating to, if you heard the Lord say, you know what, go to New York and start a church there. Churches don't do well in New York. Churches don't do well in supposedly the Northwest. But it's like churches should prosper. That's what the Lord has called us. Churches should prosper, especially if you know the God that you serve. And we also know that the Apostle Paul was struggling, because in 1 Corinthians 2:3, he tells us so. He says, as I didn't come, you know, with this great wisdom, you know, with this great speech. Instead, he says, I was with you, look what he says, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I mean, he's like, man, I was so scared, I was trembling. I was so discouraged, I was trembling. I don't know if you've ever been that way. I have. I've had stuff where I'm just like trembling inside. Because I'm so discouraged, I don't see a way out. But I've been around long enough and seen the Lord always prove himself faithful, that I have to just knock myself a little bit and refocus myself in the things of heaven. And then everything begins to change with me. And so sure enough, there was fear and discouragement. And really, that's the enemy's best weapon. That's usually how he stops believers. He discourages you. That means he takes courage out of you, right? And also he brings fear in you. You're afraid of failure. Don't ever be afraid of failure. Swing for the fence every time. Swing for the fence. You might actually hit a home run. You might, right? Or you might get on base. But you got to, and so here, the Apostle Paul is dealing with weakness. He's dealing with fear. He's trembling because he's so discouraged. And yet, I think it's a lesson for us, right? It's a lesson for us. And what we're going to see is the way that he pushes himself through is that he becomes more dependent on God. A lot of times what happens, and this is what the enemy wants to do, he comes against us, and why believers do this, I don't know, but I see it all the time. when the enemy's coming at believers, believers almost like put it on neutral. And they back away, and pretty soon they quit going to church. And I'm like, whoa, that's the worst thing you can do. When the enemy is pushing at you, what you need to do is push back. And the way you do that is what? Scripture tells us, draw near to God, right? Resist the devil and he will flee. But people forget that draw near to God part. But you must do that. So what was the source of the Apostle Paul's discouragement and fear? Look at a real quick summary here of the stuff that up to now he had been through. There's other stuff he's going to go through. Look at this. Imagine if you were the Apostle Paul. He was threatened, right, in Damascus and Jerusalem. And understand, it's his life that's being threatened. He was persecuted and run out of Antioch, Acts 13. Threatened with stoning in Iconium. He was stoned and left for dead. Whoa. He was opposed by the church. I've been there. Right? I've been there. The church has opposed me several times. He even lost a ministry friendship. He lost a friendship that was really important to him, or it got strained. He was beaten with rods and in prison. He was cast out of Philippi. He was threatened in Thessalonica, forced out of Berea, mocked in Athens. I mean, like, whoa. So when I compare my stuff with him, I'm like, why am I whining? Right? Why am I whining? You know, and feel free to, next time you hear me whining, say, Pastor, you're whining. And then you can pull out the notes about what the Apostle Paul had been through. Say, Pastor, Mel, this is real discouragement here. And so when I look at that, I'm like, Lord, I shouldn't complain for the things that I go through. And so but sometimes we can go through a season of challenges and we get discouraged or we shrink back, we get weak. It's as if we put our head down. We put it in neutral. We stay in the background. We're like, man, I'm gonna wait for the storm to pass. And I've even heard believers say that. You know, I think I made the enemy mad because I said, man, I'm gonna get serious with God, and then stuff started happening. And it's like they back off. I'm like, no. That's the worst thing you should do. Right? You need to kick booty first and learn how to kick some booty. Amen. You got to do that. Who wants to get their booty kicked? You know. I don't, right? And yet that's what believers do. They back off. They back off. It's like, man, I rattled the cage. That's okay. Rattle the cage. Rattle it every day in prayer. See, because we want to keep our head down and we want the storm to pass, but the Lord's called us to be first responders. I mean, first responders, and you saw it in this little storm that came by. They were out there. They didn't like, whoa, okay, I know trees are falling. You know, I know your house is like, you know, picked up. But, hey, we're going to wait until the storm. No, these guys get out there. They don't care. Well, they do care, but that's their job, right? They're first responders. They're there. Well, we're called to be first responders too. We're called to go there. We're called to make a difference even in the midst of a storm. You know, this week I had a test. I was not feeling good at all. I was feeling terrible. And I told Pam, I said, man, I don't feel good at all. I'm going home and take a nap, hopefully get rid of this. And so I'm driving home, and I live in North Plains now, and the closer I'm getting, I'm like, oh, it's feeling good. I just see myself, you know, in my bed. I'm, you know, if you, you know, all, you know how it is? You're just like, whoa. And then I get a text. I get a text. Someone's got a serious issue, dealing with something very serious, and I know this thing that I'm being asked to go get involved in. I mean, this is going to like take me till 10 at night to deal with. I mean, because it was a real serious thing. You know, guess what you do? We're first responders, aren't we? We go. Yeah, I'm not feeling good. I'm tired. Doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter. And so here going, like, so I text Pam, whoa, detour, not going home sleeping. So I went and dealt with it, and you know, next thing I know, I'm on the other side of Portland, and I mean, it took all night to deal with this thing, and but that's what we do. That's what we do. And so we don't get discouraged. We don't put it in neutral. We don't fall back. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. You guys know this verse. For God has not given us what? A spirit of what? Fear, complaining, whining. No. See, if you're fearful, this should tell you where that comes from. It says God didn't give you that. So where's it from? You got to identify where some of this stuff comes at you. Where's it coming from? If you're fearful, it didn't come from above. It didn't. See, it tells you what he did give you. He gave you power, right? Go take on dark places. Go take on places where, guess what? There's not much light. Go knock some altars down and take dominion. Bring the power of God over it. Love. Go love on people. And also a sound mind. Stable mind. Not a whining mind. Not a weak mind. Here's the second thing. So not only do we see that the Apostle Paul went through some real fear, some real discouragement, and we do too. We go through even more stuff too. But here's the next thing that we're going to see, that God encouraged the Apostle Paul, and God always encourages us. He encourages us sometimes through other people, and I'm going to give you an example of that even this week. Look at verse 9 and 10. It says, now the Lord spoke to Paul at night in a vision, and he says this. Look what he says. I mean, could you imagine God saying this to you? He is. I'm going to read it right now. It says, do not be afraid. That's what the Lord would say to you. Don't be afraid. Right? But speak. And do not keep silent. Why? Tells you why. For I'm with you. See, we think we're alone sometimes. And we're not alone. He says, for I'm with you. And no one will attack you and hurt you. For I have many people in the city. The Lord's giving him a sense of his plan. He said, yeah, you had problems in other cities, and there will be some challenges in this city, but guess what? No one's going to touch you. No one's going to harm you. You got beat in other cities, you're not going to get beat in the city. So this is the third vision that Paul received. The first one was on its way to Damascus, which resulted in his salvation. Then the other one, Macedonian vision, which really said go toward Greece, which is where he's at. So this is the third vision, but it's an encouraging vision, and really he even went beyond that. We're going to see, and you'll hear about it in 2 weeks actually, you're going to hear where the Lord adds to his team. We know part of his team was Silas and Timothy. Now he's going to add another couple as their team, Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife team. He's going to add to them. See, that's what the Lord does all the time. When you're feeling discouraged, he'll bring people to you, people that will encourage you. You know, if you're one of these half-empty kind of people, you need to hang out with people that are half-full, right? You have to. In fact, I would say people that are bubbling over. I think believers should be that way. Yeah. Believers should always be bubbling over. You got to know this. I only surround myself with those kind of people. If you watch the people that I surround myself, I surround myself with people that are bubbling over. You know what? I don't need to surround myself with people that are going to bum me out. I just don't, right? So you're like, well, why won't Pastor hang out with me? I'm not saying that that's the reason. I'm not saying that's the reason. But if a shoe fits, no. But you know, I love it when I get encouraged. You know, just yesterday I got... you know, Titus and Grace said we're part of this fellowship, and now they've moved to Arizona or New Mexico, one of those places. Arizona, yeah. But, you know, he called me. And once again, I take encouragement wherever I can get it. But he called me specifically to encourage me. I mean, I praise the Lord. I mean, he's in a whole state, and he called to encourage me. Right? So you have no excuse when I walk down the hallway. I expect you to encourage me, right? You know, if Titus is doing it from, you know, several states over, you can do it from across the hallway. But he calls me and he says this, you know, Pastor, I just want to tell you, he goes, what you have at East River, what's at East River, is so sweet and so special. He goes, sometimes we take it for granted. He goes, Grace and I, we've been visiting, he says, a ton of churches. And what's at East River is so special. I just calling you to let you know. Just calling to let you know. He goes, because at East River, whenever we went, we felt the presence of God. And he says, you would think you'd feel that everywhere you go, but you don't. He goes, but at East River, the presence of God is here. And you know, that just like, oh, Lord, not that I was discouraged, right? But I'll take it. I'll put it in my pocket for next time, right? And the enemy comes at me. I'm like, well, I'm pulling it out. You know, I'm going to use it, and that's okay. That'll work for me. But the Lord, I love it when the Lord encourages us. Him himself, and he did that to Paul, and he'll do that to us all day long. The Lord encouraged them with his presence. I'm going to be with you. I love that. Matthew 28:20, right? Our great commission. He says, go out and make disciples of all nations, and I'll be with you always, always to the end of the earth. He told us, go out and do the work. Man, I'm with you. You're not doing it by yourself. The Lord's protection also encouraged them. Not only his presence, I'm with you. He says, no one's going to attack you. That's awesome. I call that ministering with impunity. You go in there and you're taking the forces of darkness, and you know that you don't have to worry about it because God is with you. That's why we do what we do in Haiti or anywhere else, right? And also, he gave him his purpose. He says, I have many people in the city, not only now, but later. In other words, God's telling him, hey, you're going to be fruitful in this place. Isaiah 41:10 is a good verse. Circle this. This was said to the nation of Israel. But it gives us insight as to what the Lord would say to us tonight. It says, fear not. That's really a command. Fear not. For I am with you. You're not alone. We don't do this by ourselves. Do not be dismayed. I'm thinking, well, how do you get dismayed? It's when you forget that you're not alone. It's when you forget how good God is to you. Right? Sometimes we think God is in the door and he's like, okay, you're on your own. It doesn't work that way. He says, for I am your God. Understand who I am. Then I love what he says he's going to do. I will what? Strengthen you. That's where your strength comes. If you're here tonight feeling weak, say, Lord, wait a minute. I read in the word that strength comes from you. Lord, will you give me strength? And he'll give you strength. He says, I will give you strength. Yes, I will help you. So if you're in a pickle, if you're in a mess tonight, and I got to be honest, a lot of the messes that I make are my own doing. Right? A lot of times we like to blame the devil, but a lot of my messes are my messes. And that's okay, and God knows that. But that doesn't stop him. He doesn't say, oh, man, you created this mess. Get yourself out of it. Not at all. If I cry out to him, guess what? He's like, he comes and rescues me yet again. Man, yet again. I mean, I'd like to tell you how many times I've been rescued, but I can't count that high. That many times. Can I get an amen? Amen. Man. Right? He says, I'll help you and I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's for you, church. And then here, when God comes and strengthens you that way, then you can do the work that he's called you to do. And that's point number three. The Apostle Paul remained faithful to God's call. And that's what you and I have to remain faithful no matter what. No matter how ugly it gets, no, even if we don't understand everything, even it, whatever, you know, it's funny. God doesn't make a mistake when he calls us to something, right? It's we get our mind wrapped up in areas we shouldn't. But when God calls us to do something, guess what? That calling is sure. And the Apostle Paul knew that. Look in Acts 18:11. It says, then he continued there for a year and a half, right? For 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word among them. I mean, that's a long time for the Apostle Paul. In fact, I think that's the longest he stayed in any one time. And he's like, I'm enjoying this. No one's beating me up. You know, I'm enjoying me. No one's whooping me. No one's stoning me, hitting me with rods, throwing me in jail. I'm loving this. I'll keep going. But he was teaching the word of God. Right? Did the very thing that God asked him to do. See, but I think faithfulness is by faith, not by spiritual highs. You'll remain faithful, like the Apostle Paul remained faithful, by faith, not by spiritual highs. Yeah, I love spiritual highs. But tell you what, there's spiritual highs and there's what? Spiritual lows. Spiritual highs and spiritual lows, and you better get used to both of them if you want to be faithful. Right? And so spiritual lows may last for seasons. It doesn't matter. I've seen a lot of people quit. I see a lot of people show God to be schizophrenic this way. We're in a high. Yeah, God wants me to do this. And then we hit some lows. Oh, no. God wants me to do this. Yeah, because here's a high. And then, oh, no, I hit a low. Well, no, God wants me. And people that watch it, they're like, my gosh, God's schizophrenic because he keeps changing his mind. No, you're schizophrenic, right? Right? You're the one. See, God knows exactly what he's doing. So when he calls you to it, you got to expect the highs and the lows. And don't let the lows throw you. They will come. Just keep doing like what the Apostle Paul did. Just keep teaching the word of God. Keep being faithful to what he called you, right? And surround yourself with positive people. Right? Don't surround yourself with people that tell you to jump ship. Right? No. You want people to say, you know what, it's hard, but like the Apostle Paul, keep going. It's hard, it's getting tough, keep going. It's okay. Right? That's what you want to surround yourself with, people. It's by faith, man. You just keep pushing. Here's what 1 Timothy 1:12 says. I love what the Apostle Paul said. And this is my view of where I am in the Lord. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. So he understood who gave him the ability, who gave him the assignment, who gave him the power, right? Who enabled me because he counted me faithful. Yeah, he like that thing that Tammy had up there, man. I'm uneducated. You name it. I'm on everything. And yet, but the Lord says, no, you apart from me, you are. But guess what? I'm about to make you faithful, right? I'm going to enable you. He says, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ who enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. See, sometimes we say, well, I'm just volunteering. I'm just, volunteering in children's ministry. No, he's called you to ministry. What you do when you teach our young people is no less than what I'm doing right now, right? When you greet someone coming in, it's no less than what I'm doing now. You know why? You say, Pastor, oh, that sounds real big. You're saying what the greeters do is no less than what I'm doing here? If you were to look at the studies and understand that people make their decision within the first 2 minutes of coming to church, whether they're going to stay or not, then you really understand that the pastor means nothing, and it's really the greeters. I mean, it's crazy. It's a blow on my ego, right? But people already decided if they're going to stay in this place before they even hear me, right? It's okay. Once again, it's important, the things that you do. And it's not volunteering. It's a ministry. And the Apostle Paul understands. He says, it's God that put me into ministry, whatever the ministry is. And I'm gonna stay at it, and I'm going to keep going, and I'm gonna be grounded. I'm going to teach everybody around me. But here's what we're going to do communion. So if you want to come on up, you guys can help them out, if you would. But here's what I want to...